been the cause of it through my own fault. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:7, for your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I will give you double recompense. That is, for the things that you've done that brought trouble on yourself, I will give you double blessing. If you'll come and you'll offer me your ashes, I will give you beauty. God is doing good things in our nation. And I had the opportunity to meet with the prophetic council on Zoom this week, just to hear a whole bunch of the words that the Lord and is saying, to try and track and find themes of common things that the Lord is speaking to the prophets in the nation. So I'm going to share a little bit about that today. If you would turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 5. Hallelujah. Who's been enjoying reading the Word of God this week? A couple of you. Who's been enjoying reading the Word of God this week? Good to know. You know, this book are the words of life. In here, you're going to find the living life of God speak to you as you come in faith, believing that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you. And it's powerful. It's good to read through books as a whole as well, to get the context and understand the full context of Scripture, but then also to slow down and really take it and apply it and enjoy it. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a look, though, at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to verse 15. It says here, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I'll keep reading. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." I love the Word of God. It teaches us what life looks like, what a Christian life looks like. You know, sometimes we forget and take for granted the value of having Christian lifestyles modeled to us. I was blessed to be raised by a Christian mother who taught me what the way of the Lord looked like. But we meet people we're praying for, different ones that we meet and know, who haven't had that blessing. They don't have foundations of what godly living looks like. You know, I am so thankful. When I married Tom, I was marrying someone who had the same values. Like, we have these foundations. When you get married, you stay married till you die. That's just it. You know, it's like bedrock. That's immovable. It's a thing. We go to church every week. It's one of our values. We tithe. We don't get drunk. We don't go and take drugs and do bad stuff, because it's foundational. It's like, that's because we're Christians. We've been raised and shown what a Christian life looks like. It's not legalism. It's just there's some good basic foundations. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Good basic foundations. But we mustn't take it for granted, because what you have received, you are responsible for passing on. And what you don't prioritize, the next generation may well trivialize. And then I start reading, like I was reading at the beginning of the book of Judges, as I've just gotten out of Joshua, for those who are tracking with me. And there comes a place where the next generation have forgotten God. And I pray, God, let our generations not be those that forget God, but those that have inherited a spiritual foundation. Hallelujah. So we need to be intentional, deliberate, not to be conformed to the pattern of the world. We've been looking at Romans 12, which is so beautiful, about not being conformed to the pattern of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. But what I want to speak with you about today is here in verse 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Say, redeeming the time. I want to talk to you about redemption today and what redeeming the time looks like. You know, this whole idea of redeeming, some versions may say making the most of. But when you look at the word in the Greek, it's a little complicated. It could be taken both ways. But in when you look at how that word is used in different places throughout the New Testament, it's in light of Christ the Redeemer and what he's done for us. And it generally involves some form of price. In the meaning of this word redeem, there's that a price has been paid for redemption. Praise God, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We've been bought back. We've had the price paid for us to get us out of a bad situation. And whether it's being paying a ransom or whether it is buying something before someone else can buy it. You can look at the meaning different ways for those of you who love looking at the Greek words. But basically, this understanding of what it looks like to redeem time is something I think God wants us to understand. Because as I was speaking with the prophets this week, one of the notable things that came out was I've had two dreams about babies that come out, and they're infants, tiny babies, who shock me by opening their mouths and speaking in full intelligible sentences. And so I told the prophets, I've had these couple of dreams. And Izzy says, I've had the same dream. And then Anita Alexander says, I had a dream that I gave birth to a four-year-old child. And we went, what's all this about? And then as we began to pray and ask the Lord about it, we really felt another word that I'd written down and that many of the other prophets had also written down was about suddenlies, that God was going to be doing suddenly things, that there were suddenlies to be expected, long-awaited promises that are going to suddenly come to pass, hallelujah, that things that have been long dreamt of and long held are suddenly going to be birthed, suddenly going to come to pass. Can a nation be born in a day? Yes, anything is possible with God and the suddenlies of God. But then when we looked at these dreams and we heard numerous ones of them bringing, yes, we're hearing about suddenlies and acceleration, we began to understand, as because we all prophesy in part, and when the parts come together, you start to hear the themes of what the Lord is saying, that there are some, for some people, there have been things that have been delayed and held up, that when the suddenly comes, it's going to be like you're giving birth to a four-year-old child. Suddenly the time is redeemed and bang, it's happened faster than you expect. Hallelujah. That God is making up for lost time. And I believe that this is a big part of what this scripture is talking about. When you redeem something that is lost. Praise God, our Redeemer came to save us when we were lost, so that we could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But when it comes to redeemed time, we want to look at what this time is that he's talking about. And in the Greek there, that's the kairos time. So it's not talking about seconds or minutes. It's talking about the right time, an opportune time, a supernatural window of opportunity. And God's saying, I want you to be walking wisely, walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is looking for us to be alert and aware that this isn't a dress rehearsal for something later, but it's game on. We're in it right now, that we are called to be living with wisdom, recognizing opportunities as they come and making the most of our time. But when I thought about redeeming time, I think you could probably look at it two ways. And there's two thoughts about this idea of redeeming time. First is, I think we need to look backwards and consider, is there any time that I feel needs redeeming? Have you got stuff in your life where you feel like, man, I made a mess there, I went on a big detour, or I regret that? You know, I don't know, anybody ever have regrets? You know, regrets, they can actually start to become a stronghold if you don't deal with them. Because a demonic force will start to attach to that and start to torment you. But God wants you to redeem time. That is, if you can identify any area of your life where that you see regret, where you think, wow, I forfeited an opportunity, or I messed up, or something happened, I've got regret, in any area of your life, that is for you like the foreign currency we bring to the exchange table and exchange for the divine exchange rate of heaven. That is something you can bring and say, I have some time that needs to be redeemed. I believe God wants to make up for lost time, even if I've been the cause of it through my own fault. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:7, for your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I will give you double recompense. That is, for the things that you've done that brought trouble on yourself, I will give you double blessing. If you'll come and you'll offer me your ashes, I will give you beauty. So I start thinking, where is the areas of my life that I feel regret where I feel like that was robbed, or this is time that I'd like to see redeemed? When you start to identify that, then it's a good thing just to recognize it and deal with it, so it doesn't keep hanging around and trying to suck up your thought life and torment you and harass you. Because if the enemy thinks he gets a foothold there, he'll come and he'll bring reinforcements. And before long, you're just living in a place of sorrow and sadness and, oh God. It's called unbelief. Because God wants us to be the just who live by faith, not living in the past of regret and fear. One of the other key words that came through was about the camel coming through an eye of the needle, and that there were words about threshing and pruning. You know, I believe that to come into this accelerated new season, we have to be willing to let go and lay down the things that are burdening us and the things of the past, and to really make a deliberate decision. I am putting it off. So if you have things that you can recognize that are tormenting you, regrets or things, it's a good thing. If there's someone you can apologize to, if you've wronged them, that's a good way to start. And then you come before the Lord and you acknowledge it. That was wrong. I'm sorry. And you believe that He forgave you before it ever happened. Hallelujah. And you receive the great mercy of God. And you believe my Redeemer has redeemed that mistake. He's redeemed me from that sin. I believe, I repent, and I receive the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe in redemption here today? I'm going to just take a little bit of time to read you a few scriptures. You know, because when the enemy comes and he tries to fill up your mind with regret, what he's trying to do is he's trying to steal your future. So you need to come with the sword of the Spirit and cut it off and speak it. So I'm going to read through a few scriptures here just to solidify the strength of this sword that we have to cut off those things that are trying to hold us back from coming into the new thing that God wants to do. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. When will God remember your sins? When will God remember your sins? No more. Never. He'll never remember them. No more. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hooray! Oh, thank you, Daddy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. You're getting that sword out and... deal with it. No, the enemy comes, but boy, it's all wicked, bad, terrible, wicked, bad, wicked, evil, bad. You go, well, I've got a scripture for that too. It says, hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Does the east ever catch the west? No. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31, 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done. If you've come to the Lord and you have repented and received by faith the great grace of Jesus Christ, he says, I remember your sin. No more. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Hey, we can reason together as much as you like, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter how bright red, it doesn't matter how bad they are. If you will come to me, I will remember your sin no more. Hallelujah. That's good news. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Micah 7, verse 19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. So, we can take the word of the Lord. In fact, there's over 100 scriptures that you could actually go through and pick up and when it comes in the middle of the night.
We wish that never happened. Oh, wish that never happened. Oh, if only.
No. In the name of Jesus, I am redeeming the time. I'm going to bring what was lost, what was forfeited, what was messed up, and I am redeeming it by the blood of Jesus Christ, who said he has given me grace to redeem the time. Hallelujah. The other thing I think we need to do and think about when we're talking about redeeming time is not only recognizing what can be redeemed if you bring it to him, but then what time looking forward looks like. So we're looking back, making sure there's no burdens, no weights, no guilt, no shame, no regret that has any hold on us, because he remembers our sin no more. He will never bring it up again. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Never, no more bottom of the sea. He doesn't go diving. Hallelujah. He's never going to bring them back up again. Hallelujah. It's not hanging over your head. One day I'm going to use it as leverage over you. No, never forgiven, redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then we look forward. Ephesians 5 here in verse 15 was telling us, see then, that is, in the light of what Christ has done for us, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Looking forward, God is asking us to use our time wisely, to be wise stewards of the time that we've been given. Our lives are like a breath, the Bible says, that compared to eternity. And God wants us to be wise about how we use our time. Now, God's not looking for us to be human doings, and I'm not getting out the whip and saying, come on, work harder, do more. But I am saying that we need to live as people who have the understanding, because I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has redeemed me from my past, redeemed me from my sin. Therefore, my heart response is to say, I bring my life as a living sacrifice. It's no longer me who live, but Christ who lives in me. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. It's been redeemed. My life now has come under the lordship of Jesus. Therefore, I'm going to live in the light of his lordship. I'm going to live in the light of who he is. I'm on Team Jesus. Praise God. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about him now. Hallelujah. It's no longer me who lives. It's not about me and my ministry and my dreams and me. It's all about him. And because it's all about him, hallelujah, I can have life and life more abundant in him. Praise the Lord. Therefore, my life is going to look different to those who have not been redeemed. Because I'm not living for myself, I'm living for Team Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm living for the Lord. And so I look at the life of Jesus. How did he make the most of his time? We see the 3 years during his ministry. How did he live his life? He's our model. And I look at that and I think, well, number one, he prioritized relationships. Firstly, he prioritized his relationship with the Father, didn't he? He made time to go and talk to the Lord. That's called prayer. He prioritized prayer. And he didn't assume, he didn't think, well, I'm so important and so busy that I've got a million people who want prayer. I'm so busy, I don't have time to be pulling away and just lying down in green pastures and let him restore my soul. I've got to be busy. No, he didn't do that because he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to prioritize coming before the Father, offering him your life, offering him all your worries, all your concerns, talking to him, developing relationship. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. He prioritized this. This is making the most of your time. Carving out a space every day to give him undivided attention, to talk to him, to listen to him, to read his word and let him speak to you. Develop habits in your life. I say this all the time, but the thing that will be most contested in your life is your time with God, because that is the thing that threatens the enemy the most. Because those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. They'll drink deeply from the river of his pleasure for them. They'll be continually supplied with oil and wine. They'll be, their faces will never be covered with shame, the scripture says. Those who look to him are radiant. So the enemy doesn't want you taking time to look to him, because he doesn't want you to be the light of the world. He wants you to be walking around thinking about all the sad, bad things. God wants you to lift up your eyes and talk to him, get real with him, be honest with him. Help, let him help you by opening up your heart to the one who is fully trustworthy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't forget. That's right. Excellent. He also prioritized his relationships as we see with his disciples. He spent time discipling people, and he was intentional with those relationships, pulling aside to spend time with them. You know, the Bible says that the older should teach the younger. You know, every one of you is older than someone else. It's the truth. I have researched it. I know you well. Every single one of you in here is older than somebody else. Therefore, you have someone you can be discipling, that you can be sowing into. As we talk to each other, we sing to you, know, we sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, it says. We can talk to each other, encourage each other, talk about what the Lord's doing, spur one another on to love and good deeds, being intentional to walk with the wise so that you become wise, and to be intentional about gathering together, fellowshipping together with one another. You know, the Bible talks so much about the value and the importance of fellowship, that we forsake not the fellowshipping of ourselves together, but that we walk together, we talk, we spur one another on, we have iron sharpening iron, hallelujah. Jesus prioritized that, so we should do it too. And then when I look at Jesus' life, just very basically, we see that he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the enemy. He went about doing good. You know, the Bible says that God has laid up good works in advance for us to do. Every one of us. And that doesn't mean that we're all going to do the same works, but every one of us has had good works already preordained, laid up for us to do. Hallelujah. Lisa is one of our monthly partners. Here's a testimony.
I have been a partner with Catherine and Tom since the end of 2020. And I think the coolest part about it is to be able to sow into a ministry that God is using mightily throughout the world. I live in Florida and they live in Australia. So it's kind of cool to be able to interact with them, but also to see that people are getting saved and healed and delivered through their ministry. And we actually got to see them in Miami and see it firsthand. And then as partners, we get the monthly prayer and we've gotten words of knowledge and just a prayer covering. And so it is quite a privilege, and it is kind of cool to see people from all over the world gather together and be under their mentorship. And so it's a blessing.
Would you consider becoming one of our monthly partners? We love our time with our partners, and we'd love to see you as part of our monthly mentoring sessions.